Blog Talk Radio.
Mars Mills, riding around. Hello, welcome to Motivating Monday, Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. I know I'm giddy this morning. Congratulations to the Giants regarding their big win and all others who won big from the NFL to college sports. But yeah, those Giants are the World Series champions. So congratulations, San Francisco, and wow, and unbelievable, NBA regular season begins next week also. Plus, we return to the polls next Tuesday. I thank you so much for your support, your feedback, your constructive criticism, the love, so appreciated. I know I've been chatting with dear friends and relatives, my my knee, when I checked my Facebook inbox, there were a few messages. So that's one reason why I'm giddy. Wow. You know, it's amazing when people that are very important to you leave like important messages to you. And I'm like, well, you're like, what? Oh, wow. Unbelievable. So that's one. I'm already with giddy and kind of and happy because Motivating Monday. Have no choice. But I want to send my love and prayers to listeners and dear friends on the East Coast and the Northeast in regards to the blizzard and plus to Hurricane Sandy. We here in the Deep South, we wish tornadoes, hurricanes, tropical storms on no one. So we're praying for you. I see a lot watching World News Now earlier. I see a lot of people decided to ride it out when those come to rescue them. And a lot of people were like, no, we'll just ride it out. We want to see what happens. This is my hood. That's what I heard one guy say. So, okay, just be safe and use your common sense when you see that things could not look so good, okay? So we're praying for you all. Those of you that are going to safer places and those of you that are riding it out, I pray that you be safe and no lives are lost and no minimum injuries because it's serious. This is Mother Nature. Mother Nature acted a fool this past weekend, huh? Whether it's a tsunami, an earthquake on the Canadian East Coast. I was doing my show. Weekend Edition aired early Sunday morning, like at 2 a.m., and I thank those that listened in and chatted. As we, you know, we talked about Halloween, the chat room. We were talking about like real spooky stuff, but real life stuff, not fiction. We were talking facts. Wow. And so some of it I shared on the air, but you know, it was an up-tempo, mid-tempo type of show. So you know, I know it's Halloween week, but didn't want to spook too many of you. But again, welcome to Motivating Monday Culture Shock Entertainment Report, and I am Beth. And we're, of course, talking entertainment and lifestyle, news stories today, like always. But also, like always, we like to talk especially on health and fitness topics on Mondays, just to, you know, keep us motivated on things. And plus, discuss a little political history and its importance. You know, I've always been a history buff, a civics buff. Since I asked me what my favorite subjects were, as those who knew me and who were fellow classmates and schoolmates of mine, they would tell you that she loved history. She loved civics. She loved social studies. Yeah, I love English, and I especially love my art classes and I guess in other classes, but I've lover of history since I was a baby, and this is a political season. I'm a political enthusiast before anything, and I know many of you all also, and so it's important for us to, you know, talk a little history and so on, share facts and question some history too. You remember they used to talk about how some history books need to be changed because some history have not been included or too much of this or too much of that, but we can never get enough of textbook history or history, you know, or history stories that are passed on. And it's just amazing. So let's talk a little bit about political history also. But of course, we'll continue the review of walk-off weight and also start sharing other reviews from other books also. A few weeks ago, we talked about like the most popular health and fitness books. And don't hesitate to share some of your favorite health and fitness books and websites or even your favorite personal trainers. I need to invite some of my favorite trainers, even my coach Christy from SparkPeople.com. I need to extend a formal invitation for her to come on and talk with us about her own success story and how she educates others to live healthier and happier lives. Amazing. She's based in Georgia. But again, thank you. Thank you. Happy Halloween week. Be safe. If you're still celebrating Halloween and focusing on the actual day that is Wednesday. And Wednesday's show is Matters of the Heart Wednesday, but I thought we'd talk Halloween because that is the holiday of Halloween. And the question for Wednesday is, who has it hardest in regards to refraining from to remaining faithful, refraining from cheating, men or women? Who has it hardest? Do you think? You know, some of my favorite shows are Cheaters, Divorce Court. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I was in talks to be on Divorce Court because you all know I've been a long time estranged and can't wait till I'm legally divorced. But Divorce Court, and it's such a popular topic and something that many of us experience on a daily basis. It's everyday conversation. We see not only everyday people, but our favorite celebrities of both genders and in between get accused of allegedly cheating. So who do you think has it hardest to remain faithful within a exclusive romance and are committed or a committed marriage? I was born a natural monogamous person, heterosexual person. Yeah, I'm open-minded, or what you can call like have a freakish mind. But I've been practicing abstinence for a few years now, other than a quickie with a friend earlier this year. But you know, we'll save all the adult talk for Wednesday. But who do you think has the hardest? Just want you to think and want you to call in on Wednesday. And this show is recommended for those 18 and older. That's why I'm sharing it with you now. So let's talk about that. And, of course, talk about Halloween and holiday season ideas for singles and couples. Love talking about, you know, ideas and dating tips and so on. But let's move on and be motivated and be loved and just give everyone a worldwide hug. During this live episode of Motivating Monday, go to Shock Entertainment Reports. And if you did miss the interview with my friend Neil Thacker 2 weeks ago today, you need to check it out. I'm telling you, even if you're not interested in real estate investing, the episode is very important in regards to being motivated and being positive. And, you know, Neil pretty much tells us all, keep pushing. Don't give up and not let fear paralyze you from seeking your goals. Here's Brown Mark.
I can't decide if I can let you in. the downdraft, heating up the scene. Got bones in the closet from the iron chain. Don't wanna make the same mistake, too much pain. Grew up in the chaos, heaven is the nest, looking for a pipe dream, trying to get up in the stress. One time for the monthly crime, a real thing, or this guy is gonna make a time. Don't know, didn't know if he could let her in. He didn't wanna end up back in the big pen. Didn't understand where his anger came from. Blamed it on his mother, cause she wouldn't fight the demon.
Yeah. 5 minutes sitting down working at my brain. I'm at school flipping, and I know that it's lame, but I'm trying to graduate and do something with my life and go to college, start a family, so get all my hype, yeah, and I'ma get an A+. Swag on the run, I ain't trying to ride the bus, walk the stage with my peers, David killing me a year afterwards, celebrate party, roll some way. Late to the party, cause the name is David J. You want to be scheduled for the nickname Trey. Polo wearing Dockers every day, at school, 80 years from now, man, I'm still be cool. Ain't trying to fail classmates, trying to finish that. I work in school all day and in the night, grow hash, 4.0 GPA, that means I get that cash. Put all the teachers in the past, instead of haters, kiss my that bill, but I'm trying to graduate and get my paycheck, so school's the answer, then break my neck, yo, life's a killer, but I gotta live it, so in order to live it, David J gotta kill it, time to get to business, gotta test tomorrow, fast class, trying to pass, Mr. Lee, no follow, sign an alien, I'm like, I speak the English, no complaint, they Canadian, red dot on my forehead, but I ain't Indian, disregard administration, cook up the bacon, yo, essay in my English class, like I said before, I'm trying to finish first, no less, all the nasty conversations, giving my mind a rest, 8 o'clock p.m., I do my homework, gonna crash.
Out of Reverb Nation, and also he's on Twitter and Facebook. But if you check him out on Reverb Nation, you will be linked up and can see his bio and other music that he has produced. Just an amazing, amazing young man. He's my teen sensation, David J. Yay. So cool. Here's Dread Days.
Got me ready to talk about the love.
Karen is Karen. Karen is Sharon. What's up, Dread Days? Time for you guys to return and talk with us. Tell us what's up with this fall, winter season, holiday season, and the new year. I know you all are booked to the new, next year. Dread Days, based in L.A. Those guys are so awesome. Big shout out to friends who have poked me on Facebook. Tiger Doe, Carrie, Show Thief, Tim Marco, big time producer, production engineer, whom will be a guest on the show in the near future. He celebrated a birthday and an engagement this weekend. So happy birthday and happy engagement to you also, Tim. You're also an awesome guy to network with. James, Stanley, Larry, Patsy, my friend Rain Man, what's up? Norman Robinson, veteran, anchor person in New Orleans, native of Mississippi, of course, Norman Robinson of WDSU. What's up, Norman? Awesome guy. Hopefully he'll be a guest on the show in the near future. My self-proclaimed number one fan, Wim Bob Perez of New York. What's up? And Susan, my friend in the D.C. area. Thank you all for networking with me. You are so awesome. Okay. Here's DJ Swan, San Antonio.
Wow. Janice Nolan. I'm Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy for the American Lung Association. I'd like to talk to you about the health effects of outdoor air pollutants. We've known for a long time that air pollution can cause very serious health problems, including killing people. We have times in our past history when we have seen the deadly health effects from episodes of air pollution. And in fact, about 40 years ago, the United States took the step of putting the Clean Air Act into place to provide a way for us to clean up pollution so that we could reduce this terrible burden on our health. Air pollution, however, today remains a serious threat to our nation's health. We as a nation must remain committed to providing healthy air for all of our citizens. Air pollution is actually more dangerous for some people than for others. For infants, for children, for teenagers, our seniors, for anyone with lung diseases like asthma or chronic bronchitis, for people with heart disease, and even people with diabetes, and even people who are healthy adults who work outside or exercise outside are all at risk when air pollution levels are high. These folks are much more vulnerable to the harm that air pollution can have on our bodies. People everywhere can be harmed by air pollution, from newborn babies whose lives are cut short, to grandparents who suffer heart attacks, to healthy, vibrant lifeguards even, whose lung function is reduced, as we found in some recent studies. New research is warning us that women in their 50s may be particularly at risk from air pollution. We also know that people who are forced to breathe diesel exhaust and other engine exhaust on the job, like truck drivers and dock workers, may face greater risk of developing lung cancer or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. People with low income or some racial and ethnic groups often face greater exposure to pollution because pollution sources like factories and power plants may be closer to their homes. Census data tell us that many people live near areas with heavy highway traffic, and highways are major sources of air pollution. Having poor access to health care for any reason may also make some people vulnerable. Some racial and ethnic groups also have higher incidence of diseases like asthma or diabetes, which makes them more at risk from air pollution.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few, I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice, to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Okay, courtesy of AP, DallasNews.com newsletter. Happy birthday to actress Winona Ryder, who's 41 today. Connie Mack III, former U.S. Senator, Republican of Florida, 72. Denny Lane, rock musician with Wings and Moody Blues, 68. Melba Moore, what's up, Melba? I know Melba Moore. Originally met her back in the 80s. It was she, Johnny Taylor, Bobby Brown, and another blues musician, one of my favorites. But I know it's when Bobby Brown first went out solo after departing New Edition, when he had his first album, King of Something. But you all remember, and he was an awesome, awesome performance. But I still network with Melba Moore. So happy birthday, Miss Melba. Peter Green, if I can find pictures from back then, I sure will post. I know I do have the pictures of Bobby Brown, and I have the picture of Melba and I. But Peter Green, rock musician with Fleetwood Mac, 66. Richard Dreyfuss, actor, 65. Kate Jackson, actress, Charlie's Angels, 64. Dennis Pavin, hockey Hall of Famer, 59. Dan Castellaneta, actor, The Simpsons, 55. Randy Jackson, happy birthday, Randy, the youngest of the Jackson family. Jackson, singer, the Jackson 5, 51. Jolie Fisher, actress, 45. Brendan Fair, actor, CSI Miami, 35. Oh, I miss CSI Miami. I love CSI, period, New York and Las Vegas, but Miami was my favorite out of all. Chris Bayo. In this past weekend, I said to myself, on Facebook, too, I was like, well, maybe they should create CSI Dallas or CSI New Orleans. actress Gabrielle Union today turns 39, D. Wade's lady, and a fantastic, fantastic actress also. Today is her birthday. She's only 39. And also today in history, 1969, the Internet had its beginnings when the first host-to-host connection was made on the ARPANET, an experimental military computer network between UCLA and the Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, California. And also in 1618, Sir Walter Raleigh, the English courtier, military adventurer, and poet, was executed in London. 1682, the founder of Pennsylvania, William Penn, landed at what is now Chester. Chester, Pennsylvania. What's up to my dear friend from the Netherlands in the chat room? Also, we always have awesome convo. Busy, busy. I love my listeners who are not only at home working hard, like lounging in the bed or lounging doing their morning thing, and those that are working and listening and driving and listening. Thank you. I appreciate you. Worldwide. And also, it's afternoon. A lot of my listeners worldwide, it's afternoon and evening time, even late night some places. So thank you. 1891, Broadway star Fanny Bryce was born Fanny Borop in New York, New Jersey. 1901, President William McKinley assassin Leon Kloss-Gosch was electrocuted. Not just executed, but electrocuted. 1923, the Republic of Turkey was proclaimed. 1929, stock prices collapsed on the New York Stock Exchange amid panic selling. Thousands of investors were wiped out. The United States of America began its first peacetime military draft in 1940. And also in 1947, Frances Cleveland Preston, the widow of President Grover Cleveland, died aged 83. 56, Israel invaded Egypt's Sinai Peninsula during the Suez Canal crisis. 56, the Huntley-Brinkley Report premiered as NBC's nightly TV newscast. And also in 62, the Beach Boys' debut album, Surfing Safari was released. N66, the National Organization for Women, now NOW, was found. And the musical Hair opened off-Broadway in 67. In 04, Osama bin Laden, in a videotape statement, directly admitted for the first time that he had ordered the September 11 attacks. And now he's a has-been. 2004, European Union leaders signed the EU's first constitution. So that's today in history in regards to celeb birthdays and historic events that have happened on this day. And, wow, look, less than 4 weeks away from Black Friday, 4 weeks away exactly from Cyber Monday. Wow, isn't it something? But nowadays, you know, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and plus it's been like the big story in throughout the news in regards to retail and sales and online sales that Cyber Monday is the hot thing.
Daniel nació 2 meses prematuro. Su corazón y pulmones no estaban listos. Lo único que podían esperar sus padres era que algún día saliera sano del hospital y vivirían felices para siempre. Más de 500.000 bebés nacieron prematuros el año pasado. Usted puede ayudar a March of Dimes para que lleguen más bebés sanos a sus casas. Aprenda cómo en nacersano.org. Colaboremos para que los bebés nazcan más fuertes y sanos.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Oh, yes. March of Dimes, so important. So important. You know it's important to me. I've given birth to a child before. My son would be 23, 24 now. I was born in 88, born prematurely when I was 5.5 months. And, you know, it's so important. I have a loved one now who's expecting a child. And, you know, it's just so important to get that prenatal care taken care of, you know, really. And, I'm doing my best to get more involved with the activities of March of Dimes. And I'm hoping that sharing the PSAs of March of Dimes are helping people to think how important it is reduce the mortality rate of babies here in the United States, for real, you know. Well, after this, we're going to go ahead and talk about Walk Off the Weight and then talk some political history. What do you think about that and other important stories that have been happening out there? Here is, I want to play Rock and Roll Man, and right when I was getting ready to click the screen, here we go. Extreme Woody, Rock and Roll Man. rock and roll, man. Yay, we're having fun in the chat room. For real, we're talking about different languages. Wow, so I know I'm talking, I know it's chatting and talking at the same time sometimes. I'm good at multitasking, but sometimes it's like, okay. I wanted to share something. I don't think I've shared it before from Walt Journal, reading by Prevention Fitness Director. And it's like back to basics, at like the beginning of the journal. And I just thought it was something that's just important to share. And it's regarding technique focus. Always keep your eyes up and your eyes up and your arms up. Eyes up. Good posture is essential to hit your maximum speed and feel good while you're doing it. One of the quickest ways to stay more erect is to simply look up and keep your eyes on the horizon. Bonus, you'll look slimmer without losing a pound. You see, good posture is important, just period, in your everyday life. You know, just you even feel better when you stand more erect with good posture. In my modeling classes, in modeling training throughout my life and in classes when I was studying sales and marketing and fashion at Hines Community College in Raymond, Mississippi, outside of Jackson, in my modeling class, Ms. Mayo always, Barbara Mayo always taught us how important it is to have good posture. Just pretend that you have a string literally going in between your, going straight down through your head, straight down through your backbone, through your spine, and that you're standing straight. Even if, like, practicing how to walk properly, or stand up with a book on top of your head. Old techniques like that really are effective in practicing the habit of good posture. But in regards to exercising and walking, especially, keep your eyes up. Good posture, again, is essential to hit your maximum speed and feel good while you're doing it. One of the quickest ways to stand more erect is to simply look up and keep your eyes on the horizon. Bonus, again, you look slimmer without losing a pound. Arms up. Bend your elbows 90 degrees and swing your arms forward and back, not out to the sides, forward and back. Keep your elbows in and your hands close to your body, so they're almost skimming at your sides as they swing. On the back motion, bring your hand all the way back just past your hip. As your hand comes forward, let it swing to about chest height, but don't allow it to pass the midline of your body. And I thank you, my friend, in the chat room. Again, arms up, bend your elbows 90 degrees and swing your arms forward and back, not out to the sides. Keep your elbows in and your hands close to your body, so they're almost skimming your sides as they swing. On the back motion, bring your hand all the way back just past your hip. As your hand comes forward, let it swing to about chest height and don't allow it to pass the midline of your body. Okay? So good posture is good when you're exercising, when you're walking in your everyday life, when you're sitting at your desk working, when you're sitting, of course, at the table to eat. Good posture is just important, period. And you notice the difference in how your clothes look on you also when you have good posture. This is me talking right here. But thank you again to those of you that are listening online, those of you in the chat room. A shout out to my listeners in the Netherlands, in Africa, in the Caribbean, throughout Europe, in the UK, my fellow BTR hosts, and those that host on commercial, and not only on internet radio, but commercial radio also, whom are very supportive of internet radio shows such as Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. It's so good to network with you and to have your support also. So it's just an amazing, amazing thing. And so we're going to talk a little history, and we're going to talk a little bit more health and fitness also. Okay? Do you want to hear something else by Sixteen Woody? Or let's see. Sixteen Woody is just amazing. I need to get him on the show, like, real quick. Let's see. I know. Bethany, what are you doing? I know. I just feel like hearing something, like, really cool. Here's some rock and rock. Westport and the Foundry, my friends. What a coincidence.
Should have told you I love you with all of my heart. I could have told you, could have told you from the very start. Now you've gone away. I just hope it's not too far. Hope it's not too late. Now this whole thing is so bizarre. I should have told you just how much I love your smile. I could have given you mine in return, but that was not my style. I should have told you just how much I love your kiss. I should have told you. Now I'm sitting here just reminiscing. As you've gone away, I'm sitting here kicking my own bell. I hope to make it. Now I'm sitting in my backyard just so. I was just acting way too hard. Could I had you there? Barefoot and pregnant, 4 kids in our backyard. But you went away. Wait just 1 minute. Is that the doorbell? I hear it. Please tell me you've come back home. This song I won't have to be singing.
Should I, I would have done better. I known you were gonna leave. I'd never let you. Now I'm writing you this letter. Should have, could have, would have, if I knew. Would have done better.
Sexy mother.
Clock on the jizz.
Sexy lover.
Come on,
song to work out to. I've been playing some awesome songs for you to work out on this Motivating Monday. Now, I did slow it down a bit with Prince and Larry Graham, woulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda. But pumped it right back up with Martin Smith from SoundCloud.com, the Prince MPG Master Mix, which I hadn't played in a minute, but that is an awesome song to exercise to if it's just doing stretches and jumping jacks and push-up. You know, that is a good song to exercise to. About a month ago, I asked a political question. I hypothetically said that in a perfect world, if I had chose to run for president, that in a perfect world, I would want to possibly form a president, two-term Democrat president, Bill Clinton to be my running mate. I know I'm open-minded, independent-thinking Republican, you know, so of course he would have to switch parties, or maybe not, because have you all heard that it's a possibility that if the election is, like, really close, that it could be a Romney-Biden, there's a possibility. It's been all over the press, and they talked about it on C-SPAN yesterday. And I used to wonder when I was growing up, I was like, okay, states can have politicians like a governor and lieutenant governor of different parties. And I always wondered if that was possible. But they say it's a possibility that can happen. They say it's more than likely it won't happen, but it is a possibility. But back to what I was saying, I just wondered if a former president could be a I think back to what they've been talking about in the press, what's my opinion? I think either if the winner is Obama and Biden again, it should be Obama and Biden. If the winner is Romney and Ryan, it should be Romney Ryan. I know some of you want to know, what are your thoughts? That's my thought. Hopefully, we won't have to go through any of that. Who gets the popular vote and who gets the electoral votes are, you know, or it's so close we got to take it to Congress. You know, hopefully we will know before midnight who is the winner on November the 6th. Both of them are good guys in my book. But I'm on Team Romney, which you all do know, but I'm a big fan of Obama. But back to what I'm talking about when I mentioned it about a month ago, I hadn't heard from anybody in regards to that. So, me being a history buff, I was like, okay, let me find out for myself, just through research. And I had been reading, like, the 22nd Amendment and what's the proper way of becoming president and vice president, and the presidents can only run like two terms. This is a history fact, something that I learned while studying up on the 22nd Amendment. George Washington, many of you probably knew this or know this, George Washington wanted to run a third term. And that is when they decided that presidents should only run two terms with our first president. They told him that he was too up in age. They told him that he was up in age or something. But he gave other reasons for why he wouldn't seek a third term. But that's when two terms started with that very first president. But before I go to the 22nd Amendment, I'm looking at, like, questions that I'm looking at through Googling. And this is from Yahoo Answers. Someone asked, can a former president become a vice president? And their answer was, a vice president can run for president. A former two-term president cannot accept a VP offer. And that was an answer on Yahoo Answers. And as I was looking at, and then also, as I was studying that question, they stated that a president have not ever seeked to become a vice president. You know, just been a history buff, that was just a question. And been a political enthusiast, that was just something that I wondered if in history, I didn't know if in history if it have ever been reversed. So, you know, back in the 1700s and 1800s, I didn't know because, different people, I didn't know if they ever switched up. You know, it's like, okay, I've been president, but I want to run for vice president. You know, then no, I didn't know if it was possible that it had happened before in like 1800. So then why I presented that question about a month ago. So I'm just like checking out that. And in the near future also, I'll be talking about Mississippi politics, Mississippi history. Like I said, again, as a kid, I've always loved history, social studies, history, American history, Mississippi history, civics, economics. I mean, I graduated early from school. I could have graduated a grade earlier, but I wanted to stay with my class. And but the courses that I did take my senior year were what? World history and economics. My half credit classes. Those were the only classes I had my senior year in high school. So that's how much I love history and economics. And mind you, in my economics class, I was voted vice president. While we speak in politics, of our junior league, a junior achievement league project, I was voted vice president of production. So I was elected vice president while we're speaking that. So can a former president be vice president if he served office already? And this is from. I'm gonna head on to the what I found out in the 22nd Amendment, and you can check out the 22nd Amendment. And many of you know more about the different amendments than I do. And feel free to call in or chat with me or email me and provide me with proper information. So there was I was checking out another question, the same question on another site before heading to Wikipedia. I was checking out, here's Quora.com. U.S. President's election. I just want to know basically if it ever happened in history before, or is it like, okay, you already been president, you can't be vice president. Or and from that matter, can a president be head of another department if offered or appointed? You know, it's just good to know certain facts in history, and you can't know unless you ask. So I'm just glancing over something else. I'm looking at something about the 12th Amendment. They say there's an open question regarding interpretation of the 22nd Amendment as it relates to the 12th Amendment, ratified in 1804, which provides that no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president should be eligible to that of vice president of the United States. While it's clear that under the 12th Amendment, the original constitutional qualifications of age, citizenship, and residency apply to both the president and vice president, it is unclear if a two-term president can later be elected or appointed vice president. Some argue that the 22nd Amendment and the 12th Amendment bar any two-term president from later serving as president, as well as from succeeding to the presidency from any point in the United States presidential line of succession. Others contend that the 12th Amendment concerns qualification for service, while the 22nd Amendment concerns qualifications for election, and thus a former two-term president is still eligible to serve as president. Neither theory has ever been tested, as no former president has ever sought the vice presidency, and thus the courts have never been required to make a judgment. So in other words, it's not written into law that a former, this is my interpretation, it's not written into law within the Constitution, within the amendments, that a former two-term president cannot seek or be offered that position of vice presidency, because it's never been sought after, and the courts have never had to make a judgment on it. In 1980, as former President Gerald Ford was being considered a possible running mate for Republican candidate Ronald Reagan, an issue arose regarding how many terms Ford could serve. If he succeeded to the presidency, since he served more than 2 years of Richard Nixon's second term. Either way, it sets a bad precedent. and shouldn't happen. The Constitution was written for a reason. Nor would I imagine, this is the person, August Arthur, in his article, Big Dog wanted to do it. He's done his time and is having more fun in the nonprofit sector. Strategically, it's better to have a vice president who is suited to take the lead and run in 06 than have someone with lots of Elvis, or have someone like Biden who will interfere with the democratic process in 06 if it's oldness. The field is currently wide open, and the Arthur's saying this is something about 06, about 16. Oh, I guess it's about Biden. The field is currently wide open, and I imagine Biden will be attempting another run in 16. Clinton will be too busy trying to change the world, thankfully, doing what he does best. Freshman world leaders to step up and be responsible world citizens. So then there's Mac McDonald, White House aide to President Bush, said that I don't think it would be constitutional. Oh, okay. And then they're talking about, they must be talking about Clinton on this one. As President Clinton has already been president for two terms, and so there might be some issues with eligibility in light of third term prohibition. Oh, they might be talking, oh, okay, they're talking about presidency. But my thing is regarding being vice president. And then they're going back to the Reagan Ford. However, there is some precedent for this type of trial balloon. Hint, it doesn't end well. A political fantasy dream team idea does have some history. Most famous of recent campaigns was the idea of a Reagan Ford ticket back in 80, and some of the after action that episode points to the messiness. From Hal Raines' New York Times report following the failure of the proposed ticket, the effort to put former Gerald R. Ford into the number two spot on the Republican ticket with Ronald Reagan fell late last night after Mr. Ford's representatives put forth conditions that would have given Mr. Ford operational control of the executive branch of the government, according to sources close to both sides of the discussion. This is back in the day. This is some feedback. Mr. Ford's four negotiators, led by former Secretary of State Henry A. Kissinger, proposed that Mr. Ford would take the vice presidential nomination if he could be the chief operating officer at the White House, said one of the Ford advisors. They were making representations on behalf of President Ford or themselves. I was never quite sure which. That were perhaps unconstitutional and certainly impractical, said Caspar W. Weinberger, one of Mr. Reagan's close advisors, who was a cabinet member in the Nixon and Ford administrations. The proposals included a mutual veto system on key appointments, under which Mr. Reagan would need the former president's approval of the choices for Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Treasury. Another proposal was that Mr. Ford would name the Director of Office of Manager and Budget, subject to a veto by Mr. Reagan. A source close to Mr. Reagan said that the basic thrust was for Mr. Ford to be a super director over such key executive branch agencies as the National Security Council. Such proposals would have the White House staff reporting to the president through Mr. Ford, an extraordinary, if not unprecedented, arrangement in American government. The differences between the two leaders, representatives, three for Mr. Reagan and four for Mr. Ford, tend to confirm one of the fears that led Mr. Ford to turn down the job. The former president said in an interview yesterday, this is back in the day when Reagan was considering Ford as his running mate, with the New York Times, that their staffs might compete even though the top people can have the best intentions. Sources close to the discussion said the Reagan team was convinced that Mr. Ford did not know what they regarded as a breathtaking power grab was being attempted. I think Ford's quote at the time about competing staffs is particularly insightful into the level of organizational dysfunction that this type of thing can introduce on a practical basis. I will also add that I have to disagree. Okay, well, that's something else, that last part. It's unrelated to that topic. So it's just a question. I just wanted to know if it had ever happened, or if it was possible, and so on. And I'm reading an article where Hillary rejected a VP slot to rid herself for an 06 slot. But I'm trying to head on back to this 22nd Amendment. We have about 2 more minutes of live streaming, and I thank you for listening. But I will continue on because I do want to share Denise Austin's Motivation Monday tip also of the day. Okay, the 22nd Amendment of the United States reads from Wikipedia. 22nd Amendment of the United States Constitution sets a term limit for election to the office of President of the United States. The Congress passed the amendment on March 21, 1947. It was rectified by the States on February 27, 1951. And I know, don't you hate it when you're scrolling and it like stops on you? Okay. Okay. Talking to my friend in the chat room right quick. Thank you also for listening. Thank you also. Right when I was scrolling down to talk about the term limits, it scrolled out of my view. Okay. Okay, here we go. It scrolled out of my view. Then it causes me, it causes quietness, which is boring. Again, you all stay safe and stay warm on the East Coast. Okay, historians point, this is what I was talking about. Historians point to the George Washington decision not to seek a third term as evidence that the founders saw a two-term limit as a bulwark against a monarchy, although his farewell address suggests that he was not seeking re-election because of his age. Thomas Jefferson also contributed to the convention of a two-term limit when he wrote in 1807, there was some termination to the services of the chief magistrate, be not fixed by the Constitution or supplied by practice. His office, nominally 4 years, will in fact become for life. Jefferson's immediate successors, James Madison and James Monroe, adhered to the two-term principle as well. Prior to Franklin D. Roosevelt, few presidents attempted to serve for more than two terms. Ulysses S. Grant sought a third term in 1880 after serving from 1869 to 1877, but narrowly lost his party's nomination to James Garfield. Grover Cleveland tried to serve a third term and a second consecutive term in 1896, but did not have enough support in the wake of the Panic of 1893. Cleveland lost support to the civil rights, led by William Jennings Bryan, and declined to head the Gold Democrat ticket. Though he did endorse the Gold Democrats, Theodore Roosevelt succeeded to the presidency up on Will McKinley's assassination and was elected in 1904 to full term himself, serving from 01 to 09. He sought to be elected to a non-consecutive term in 12, but lost to Woodrow Wilson. Wilson himself tried to get a third term in 20 by deadlocking the convention, which liberally blocked the nomination of his Secretary of Treasury and son-in-law, William Gibbs McAdoo. However, Wilson was too unpopular even within his own party at the time, and James M. Cox was nominated. In 40, Franklin D. Roosevelt became the only president to be elected to a third term. Supporters cited the war in Europe as a reason for breaking with presidents. In the 44 election during World War II, he won a fourth term, but suffered a cerebral hemorrhage, that's what my brother died from, and died in the office the following year. Thus, Roosevelt was the only president to have served more than two terms. And that was as president, but no president has served as vice president. And it did come close with Ford and Reagan, but it didn't happen. Too much power sound like to me. What sound like to me. So we're continuing on talking about this subject, and anything you want to share on that subject, please, because I know history teachers are listening and history buffs are listening. So please share the what you know. I wanted to go in detail and talk about some more that I had read up on the 22nd Amendment regarding that topic. But you know, we're having, this is a political season, not just presidential, but locally in different states. Here in Mississippi, we have local elections also. So, you know, it's just, we just have to make our sound. What is important is to vote. Did y'all hear about Madonna being booed on Saturday night in New Orleans? She told her crowd that, hey, doesn't matter, are you registered to vote? Doesn't matter who you vote for as long as you vote for Obama. And the reports, I seen this first on Hollywood Life and some other emails I had received the other day, and we talked about it on my local news channel, 16, where they mentioned the part about the bomb, but people booed her and start leaving. Some reports that I heard, she's going to be on Ellen today, so New Orleans is Ellen's hometown, so I wonder if they're going to talk about that. But what is important is that we exercise our right to vote. Many would be voting for third-party candidates, those that can vote third-party in their respective states. What's important is that we exercise our right to vote, right? Right. So here's a little bit more music, and we'll talk a little bit more about living healthy by me sharing with you Denise Austin's Motivational Monday newsletter. And also, if you need some quick ideas regarding Halloween crafts and party ideas and also holiday ideas from Thanksgiving to Christmas, be sure to visit iVillage. iVillage.com. Today is just filled with all type of ideas and quick ideas, especially for Halloween, and if you're doing something on Halloween, and also Thanksgiving and Christmas ideas also. And remember to visit Christmas.OrganizedHome.com, the website that I've been sharing a lot of information from, and hopefully you've been visiting also on Thursdays, okay? But tomorrow we're going to be talking about, Talk Tuesday, we're going to be talking about seeking a seasonal work during this holiday season, and how, you know, I had mentioned the other week where Amazon was hiring seasonal work, but they're going to keep a lot of people for permanent work. So tomorrow we're going to talk about seeking and seasonal work, but then also for those who may want permanent work, it's a possibility with some places that you can turn that seasonal work into a permanent gig. And also we'll be talking about, speaking of getting a job or working, and there are some people who have jobs and work who are still bum around and freeload on you. Because there are some people like, I got mine, and I want yours too. And we'll also talk about the topic of bumming and freeloading. You know, do you consider yourself a bum or a freeloader, do you have someone who likes to bum and freeload around you or off of you in your life? Let's talk about that, and also review some, you know, like articles and stories focused on that topic of freeloading and bumming. And you all feel free to call in and talk about it also. But we're definitely talking about current entertainment and lifestyle, music, news stories, and most importantly, because it's important, getting seasonal work. Some people have regular jobs and just want some work seasonal part time to make some extra money, to buy extra Christmas gifts and stuff like that, or to do certain things. And then some people really want seasonal work. Some people just want seasonal work. And okay, when the season's over with, okay. But then there are some people who want seasonal work, but in hopes to, hey, if they really like the place and they have a good rapport and the company likes their work, hoping and praying that seasonal work turns into a permanent job. So let's talk about that tomorrow and just have fun on Top That Talk Tuesday and talk about any and all, everything else regarding entertainment and lifestyle and music news, okay? So I just want to take some time out to chat with you. So again, I thank you, and thank you to Pianki, who called in on Sunday morning when I broadcast at 2 a.m. He's a guest on many shows here on blogtalkradio.com. So thank you, Pianki, for calling in and talking about the importance of doing business, of being a focused business person in this society. It was amazing for you to share some time. Here's Strat from Moreto, Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
miss you.
Yay, all I do is win, DJ Khaled. And oh my God, the song "Me" by Draft. The show is rated mature, but I know some of you probably didn't want to hear MF. He said MF one time, but so my apologies for that. That's one reason why the shows are rated mature, because of the lyrical content on the shows. The only show that I broadcast live that's rated mature because the subject matter is Matters of the Heart Wednesday, because we talk about the topics in regards to Matters of the Heart. But here we go, Motivational Monday from DeniseAustinOnline.com. Resolve to plan ahead. When you're super busy, it's easy to let your healthy eating habits or workouts fall by the wayside. Then you get down on yourself for not sticking with the plan, or you feel like quitting altogether. Don't let this happen to you. There are so many things you can do to make juggling life's priorities more manageable, and one of them is planning ahead. If late nights on the job are leaving you with zero time to prepare wholesome meals during the week, do the prep work in advance. On the weekends, go over the upcoming week's meals and figure out ways to limit the time you'll have to spend in the kitchen. For example, buy pre-cut, pre-washed salad greens, frozen veggies, and thin, free, fast-cooking cuts of meat. Or do most of your slicing and dicing at one time. Place the ingredients in a storage container and then refrigerate until you are ready to whip up your meals when you get home. Yeah, because I've really been, mapping out and planning how to prepare healthier meals and looking at my overall schedule. I've always been a big proponent of time management. Sometimes not enough hours in a day, right? So it's good to, even those of you that just believe in being spontaneous, it's good to plan things out, and especially in regards of how you're eating and living, even if you're in the best of health and think everything's all hunky-dory. And as for your workouts, note them out first thing in the morning. Then you can immediately cross off one oh-so-important thing from your to-do list. Plus, all that heart-pumping exercise will leave you feeling refreshed and energized, the perfect way to start your day and get you on the path of success. And also, Diane Wise also have shared I love their newsletters, and also check out sparkpeople.com. I'll be sharing. I love sharing Spark People info with you all, and they're asking questions like, can money buy happiness, and all sorts of things. I'll be sharing that with you all on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest. But you know, Diane West always have awesome newsletters, and I'll conclude the show. You know, those of you that are ready, but I want to share with you today's newsletter from Diane West, also Home of Home Bistro. And they're talking about some quick bullet points. So some things that he's been working on, they'll be talking about in future newsletters. And he says, it's been a while since we did this. There's so much going on. Here's a few bullet points that he has turned into a newsletter. And what's even better is that all the things we are working on are directly targeted to improving customer service experience here at Bistro. He's talking about some new items that they've added to their menu, and some of you might not be familiar with Home Bistro and amazing prepared meals, healthy prepared meals. So what they've added now, I don't eat lamb, but some of you, I know many of you do love lamb. We've added a new Home Bistro meal in the last few months. He says it's called the Lamb Shank and Mint Sauce Meal. And then there's another one called the Cream Brulee. And then in desserts category, they've added a Mile High Apple Pie and Pumpkin Pie. And also they have new gourmet plating techniques that they've been sharing. And technology is so amazing, he talks about. And he also shares a testimonial from a customer, and also just be sure to order. In other words, be sure to order your catalog or read it online. I like looking at the printed version of the catalog myself, So, you know, visit downwise.com or homebistro.com and request your catalog. Check it out on the website, because he always share, like, healthy advice also within his newsletters. But the top sellers this month are, number one, the chicken pot pie, traditional beef pot roast, chicken parmesan, spaghetti bolognese, beef pot pie, chicken cacciatore, savory vegetable stew. My mother and I had some delicious soup, vegetable soup this past weekend. Raspberry grilled chicken breast, cheese lasagna and meat sauce, beef tips and burgundy sauce. So, wow. I'm cooking meatloaf today. But one thing I like about the healthy classes at the gym that I attend, which I'm returning back to the gym this week. I hadn't been in 2 weeks. But they teach a healthy living class. And one of my requests is a healthy way to cook meatloaf. And it's probably best to replace beef with turkey meat. I know they did share that with me, but it's amazing. So I just want to thank you for tuning in to the show. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as we will talk about seeking seasonal employment that may possibly can turn into permanent employment, and also bumming and freeloading. Either do you consider yourself one, or if others consider yourself one, maybe just a perception, you know, and just talk about that topic, articles and stories that we've heard, and also share your real life stories too, if you would like. But most important is about the seasonal work, and if those that won't seasonal work to turn into permanent work, you know, really what to do to stand out among the others, you know, really. And getting all sorts of emails. Martha Stewart Organizing has awesome, every day she shares so much awesome stuff. Here's an email from Walmart. They having a big sale. Yesterday I received an email from JCPenney's. They have a sale, 30% off clearance items in-store and online. So those of you who love JCPenney's like I do, visit jcp.com also, you know, for real. So, again, I thank you for tuning in to the show. It's been so much fun. And I will end it just on this note. I'll play one more song. And I didn't have a guess, but still went over time, huh? But I had a blast talking to those in the chat room and just networking on Facebook and whatever. Remember to follow me also at Pinterest.com/CultureShockKUltreShockBTH K-U-L-T-R-E-S-H-O-K-B-T-H. And I'm on Instagram also now, Instagram.com/KUltreShockBTH There also just having a blast. Here's Andre Simone, America. That's a good song to conclude the show on. And remember, you can check me out, my profile out. My email address is there and links to Facebook. Subscribe to my page. I've exceeded 5,000 friends. I did create a secondary page. And also, if you love Mark and beauty and fashion talk, you can friend me at facebook.com, Beth, B-E-T-H, Mark, M-A-R-K, D-R-R-L, Beth. B-E-T-H, and that is the Facebook page. Well, I talk Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, but primarily Mark, which is an Avon brand, Empowerment Foundation, Beauty and Fashiontainment, okay? So you can free me there, but you can subscribe to my Facebook page, which link is available right here on my blogtalkradio.com profile information section, okay? And email me your media kits and press kits and your awesome music if you would like it to be added to my playlist. And if you're looking forward to becoming a guest in the near future, let me know. I do invite people, but, you know, let me know. Say, hey, I want to be a guest, a special guest host on your show and talk about certain subjects. And let's do this, okay? I love you and thank you. You are appreciated. Praying for all listeners worldwide. Praying for my listeners and friends on the East and Northeast. Be safe and be good and follow instructions, okay? Really, because we want you to be safe. I know I'm from right down here in the Deep South, and these hurricanes and tropical storms and tornadoes are no joke. Okay, here's Andre Simone, America. And here's Imprint, America the Beautiful. Thank you.
With Jim.